Welcome to Be the Evidence podcast with Susan Grace and Aubrey Mass.
Hi there. Welcome to Be the Evidence. Susan and I wanted to let you know that BeTheEvidence.live is up and running. It's our community platform where we really put practice everything that we speak about within the weekly podcast. So within the platform of BeTheEvidence.live, you will get real-time text notifications as the energies shift, as planets move, as there is awareness happening around how to deepen our practice into presence. You also get guided meditations and intuitive images to work on within a meditation and journaling practice. There's lifestyle and presence practices suggestions, as well as recipes to help support your becoming. We also will have live calls there where you can interact with us, get monthly forecasts on what's to come, have live Q&A sessions, and so much more. We would love for you to join us and be part of the community of becoming and being the evidence of what we all truly know is possible. I hope to see you there.
Oh, goodness gracious. Big things are in the feels. I feel like we say that every time we get on here today. I'm like, oh, guess what? There's big emotions up. There's big things taking place.
Yeah, and it's because Scorpio's jacked up right now. Mm-hmm. It's the sun and three planets in Scorpio. That Mercury and Jupiter has been trining into Chiron and Pisces, and now Moon and Cancer is triggering those, but also Sun and Venus retrograde in the first degrees of Scorpio. So that feeling of being tsunamied by emotions is real. It's happening. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, for anyone who feels that way right now, it's not just that you're sensitive or pull it together. I mean, actual real feelings are coming up, and a lot of them are dark.
Yeah, they're really dark, and it's like those pieces that, I mean, we've talked about this too, Scorpio, right? Like that all of a sudden you have to start looking at things that you don't necessarily want to look at, and I think especially when you're feeling all of the feels, how do you house all of them while being fully aware that you don't necessarily want to be feeling into them, but that if you don't feel into them, then they're going to keep approaching, and that your responsibility is to acknowledge them and to help heal them, to show them some level of respect.
Right. But respect why? Because it can feel like something's chasing you down.
Yeah.
And that's not the intent. The intent, when emotions start getting flooded in, it's because it's trying to help you. It's trying to say, hey, I'm hurting. And we go, I don't care. I don't have time for that. And then it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I really think that this much Scorpio is trying to drill down into deep trauma, deep pain, original hurt, karmic hurt. That's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. This weekend, I think I've told you that my school for my PhD, I don't do semesters. I do terms within a semester. And so I started a new term over the weekend or last week. And we had our weekly video conference call. And we're all talking about like what we want to explore within our dissertations. And so a lot of the people in the class are in mind-body medicine and getting their PhDs in mind-body medicine as well. And one of the themes that kept coming up, which I found extremely interesting, was this theory around trauma, right? And how not only does trauma get stored in our bodies and then impacts our emotional health and then impacts our physical health, but also how trauma gets stored within the planet. And then within like our ability to live life itself and to show up, that it runs much deeper than, oh, I cut your leg, right? And then there's your wound, there's your scar tissue, and now it's healed. It's so much deeper that it's penetrating into the bone. It penetrates into our environment that we keep. It penetrates into our minds. and then ancestrally, right? Like there's a lineage to it. And how fascinating that is, that at this particular time, science is just starting to understand or piece together that there is a lineage to it, that it does penetrate beyond just the actual physical wound. And how that's coming about at the same time where I think all of us collectively are being pushed towards, you know, where are your deepest traumas that you house that you don't really want to look at? And what is the language and the stories and the patterns that have come to play as a result of those traumas, not only in this lifetime, but previously as well?
That previous part is starting mm-hmm. to, it's starting to hit, I mean, in my personal human experience, you know, just when you think you get to the root, the energy goes, not yet, you're not there yet.
Yeah.
And I think it's that ancestral thing, or mm-hmm. even if it's part of your belief system, a karmic kind of wounding.
Yeah.
We were talking before, you and I, about feeling like there's something we can't quite pin down that needs to be mourned.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been feeling that a lot lately. And I'm sure a lot of it has to do with the collective.
Right.
I think it's also in our ancient stories, like personally, mm-hmm. right? Like the hurt that's been happening, how we've participated in it.
Yep.
How we haven't allowed ourselves to heal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion is that when Chiron was in Aries for a short while, it was saying the ways that we hurt ourselves and each other, we're going to let that be over now. And Chiron has dipped back into Pisces. And I think it's saying, now let's evaluate what quote that is.
Mm-hmm. We're
gonna let that be over now. What is that? Mm-hmm. What is it? And the trine into Jupiter and now Mercury in Scorpio is trying to get to that we're trying to mourn and recover from.
Right, which requires the naming of it.
And it requires a naming of it. That's what I've been saying in readings, Aubrey. Mm-hmm. You have to name it first.
Yeah, and that's the tough part, I think, right? Like, you know, I can only speak personally, like, that I have a real deep ancestral storyline, especially I think for most women or anyone that identifies within the feminine, people pleasing, of being responsible for being the caretaker and making sure everything looks prim and proper and the bow's tied in my hair and the apron is on and the food is served and, oh, you feel something big and rough. Oh no, please let me house that for you because that way you don't have to, that sort of thing, right? And the uncovering of that is like, okay, well, how do you start dissecting that people pleasing beyond just being like, these are my boundaries? You have to name it. And the naming of it is like, oh, well, I've been people pleasing in every aspect of my life, whether it's been like the clothes that I keep, the house that I have, the words that I choose to use, the way that I interact with moving my body around other people, right? Like there's many of layers there that require me to name them on each particular level.
It's a long list.
Yeah, it's a long list.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I keep seeing that, like those layers, what is it? I think in Utah, where you can go through the canyon, right? And you can see the layers of sediment as the waters receded over and over and over again. And it's like that, like, I feel like I keep getting to another layer and I'm like, oh, okay, look at all of those above me that I've gone through. I can see like there is a lineage upon every single life that I've lived. This is how I chose the storyline. This is how I participated in this, right? And then I keep being pushed down to do another layer. And it's like, I keep going and I don't know where the floor is going to hit. And I don't know when I stop and I'm mourning the ones that have preceded and come before me, or when I start mourning the fact that I've been participating in it unconsciously for a long period of time.
Listen, I think a lot of this is collective. Right. Yes. So right. Chiron between Pisces and Aries is trying to get us to heal how we've hurt ourselves and each other. Uranus between Aries and Taurus is trying to say it's time to create a new world, and we're completely overwhelmed by that because we might as well just start over at this point.
Right.
And then, you know, when Uranus goes back into Aries in November, I think it's going to say, come on now, you're stronger than you think, right? The nodes are going to switch within about a week, I think. And North Node's going to go from Leo, where we've been for the last 18 months learning to get back in touch with loving ourselves no matter where we are. It's going to, I mean, like within days, it's going to be a deep longing for home, whatever the hell that means. Jupiter's going to switch signs from Scorpio, finally out of Scorpio into Sagittarius. All that cuspy stuff, I think, is bringing up very intense awareness about suffering and trauma and the effect it's had, like you were saying, on the earth.
Yep.
On society, on a breakdown out of patriarchy, but on the way out, we're very aware that patriarchy has made it into our bones. It's within us.
Yeah.
I think it's going to become important, and I think Jupiter and Sagittarius will help us with this. It's going to become important to not just be looking at what's wrong. We're going to have to reach for hope. We're going to have to reach for possibility. We're going to have to reach for not stopping where we are in shame,
mm-hmm.
and go, listen, there is nothing that is unhealable, nothing. And reach past the heaviness of awareness.
Yeah, I posted about that prior to us getting on for the podcast, about like how I feel like there's like this fine balance, right? It's like that, it's the funeral, right? Of that balance of how do you mourn or do you celebrate? How much do you do of either of them? Do you celebrate the person's life, or you mourn that the fact that they're gone, right? You do both in honor of them. You do both in honor of them. And I think that that's where I keep coming back to, is like, this is what's being presented collectively as well, of like, do we mourn the suffering? Do we mourn the hurt? Do we mourn the trauma that we've carried and that we've placed within the earth and placed within life itself? Yeah, we do, because it's messed up. Like, because it's caused us to remain small, because we've participated in the smallness, because we've participated in the harming and we've received it. And do we also celebrate and figure out ways to celebrate ourselves and showing up and celebrate the fact that we can rewrite that? Yeah, we have to, because we can't, right? You can choose one or the other. You can choose just the mourning, and you can become inundated in the mourning. You can be in that dark cave and never be able to come out again, never be able to see the light cross your path. And you can also do the opposite, right? Where you can just fully ignore the fact that you're being requested to mourn and be in the light, be in the fun, be in the distraction. But there is a true request, from my opinion, that's happening, that's like, no, the balancing of the both, sitting in the cave while having the sun hit you on the face and rejoicing in the sun warming your body, while also sitting and being surrounded by the darkness and the mourning and the release.
I feel like shame is the line.
Mm-hmm.
If we fall into shame, I mean, you just wither away.
Yeah.
You wither away and you hide and you don't participate and you don't act and you don't contribute. You just quit.
Right.
And a lot of people do. Yeah. A lot of people do quit. It's one of the things that I've been paying attention to lately, is that showing up and participating and reaching and building new, it's an active choice. You don't have to. You can quit. A lot of people do. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just fucking roll over and quit. And I don't blame them. Like, this is really hard. This is really hard.
Yes. I feel like it's the same matter for consciousness. Like, you get the ability to choose. Do I choose consciousness in this moment, right now? The commitment to that is not for the birds. It's not some easy assignment that you're like, oh yeah, sign me up for that. I got it. Let me show you my A plus streak here. No, you're going to get beaten up and pushed around and shoved down and have to prove over and over and over again that you're in it. Like it's not intended for this like momentary lapse. And, you know, I think that's, I don't blame people. I really don't. This is some of the most exhausting work I've ever done in my life, is to stand on the side of I choose consciousness, even when it fucking feels like hell. Even when all I want to do is run away and go into my addictions of like, I'm going to binge watch on Netflix. I'm going to drink wine. I am going to ignore. I'm going to go shopping, whatever. Like I'm going to do all of these things so I don't have to be conscious with that. It's exhausting. And it's unrelenting. And you're right. It's not for everyone.
Personally, I've got so many intense placements. I could easily fall into, fuck it, I'm out.
Yeah.
But what keeps me in it is if I feel this way, lots of other people feel that way.
Right.
And I don't want anybody else to quit. So I'm not going to.
Right.
I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep showing up. I might be tired, but I'm going to keep showing up.
Yeah.
Because what if we all quit?
Right. And is that really the alternative? I mean, I feel like I've gone enough go-rounds within my karmic life cycle to know that if I don't start handling shit right now, my fucking ass is coming back in another lifetime to do the same work that I'm doing right now. That I need to handle it now so that therefore all the previous ones and all the future ones have a little bit of relief.
Ain't that the truth? Like, I ain't starting over.
No. I mean, I question why I chose it in the first place, but at the same time, like, I'm in it now. Like,
yeah. You got to keep pushing through.
Yes. And I also think that's when we've talked about in the other podcast about having grit, about having backbone, right? That I pride myself on having backbone, of having grit, of being able to lean in when times get tough, when times get tough, of being able to show up and be like, all right, this is uncomfortable as hell, but here I am and I'm going to choose consciousness and I'm going to choose vulnerability. And I may not be able to emotionally express everything that's coming up for me at this point, but I am going to be here. I will be in presence because that's what I want to see in the collective, right? Like I want to see other people having the same bravery and willingness to do the same thing. There's not another option. I mean, there is in the sense of like that, fuck it, I'm out and let's just start all over. Like that definitely is an option across the board. I mean, especially when we're talking about the traumas that we've done and like, how do we build a new world when we're looking at the one that we're currently standing in and going, have you looked at this lately? It's pretty messy. How do we transcribe this? How do we transpose this? How do we transform it?
And I think that's where it's really important to let yourself feel.
Yeah.
We can't figure out how to right the wrongs, solve the problems, build new worlds if we forget to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Forgetting to feel is what leads to oppression and suppression and fear and dominance by a system that wants to keep us dependent and mm-hmm. afraid to go out on our own.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the part. That's what keeps you coming back is feeling. Caring
because it brings you back into the presence,
mm-hmm.
right? Like it brings you back into your body, into the experience of it. I once sat with a counselor when I was in my marriage, and it was really rough in a multitude of ways. I'll just leave it at that. And I was questioning, how do you know truth? How do you know when your head's so clouded, right? how do you know when something is true when you can go down so many different rabbit holes? And you can, because I was with somebody that is a narcissist, and so very good at spinning stories, that it's very difficult in those situations, especially as an empath, to understand what is the true story, right? And she was like, well, can you come back to your feeling? What are you feeling? Do you feel that that's deceit and you are registering that as like, ooh, something's wrong here when I hear this story or I see the situation? Do you feel that in your body? And I was like, well, yeah. And she's like, you have to return over and over and over and over again to feeling, because that's where you find your truth, especially when your world, my personal world, or the collective world is so convoluted with all of these mixed messages and mixed signals and all over the place.
You know, even people with a lot of water placements, right? People who don't have a lot of water placements have a hard time getting into their emotions and trusting them.
Right.
People with a lot of water placements have a hard time too. They also get into, I don't know if I can trust how I feel. Yes, you do. Yes, you can. If it feels wrong, it is wrong. If it feels right, it is right.
But I think that whole storyline of, I mean, at least for me, I took that story along a line of, I don't know if what I'm feeling is true, as part of my own personal oppression and suffering that was was put on me by the patriarchy and how I participated in the patriarchy, where I feel like that is what has been put on us over and over again of, oh, you can't really trust what you feel. Why would you be able to trust yourself, right? And like how quickly we can take that on as ours and be like, well, I feel that this person's lying to me. I can feel that there's a sensation going on in my gut that something is not right in this situation, but oh, I don't know if I can trust it. Because then we become palatable, right? We can become Play-Doh. We can become formed into what we are expected to be of not knowing ourselves well enough, right? Not knowing how to stand in our truth, how to be in our feelings, how to stand in that place of, no, I am sacred because this is what I feel and this is truth.
And that's on purpose. Mm-hmm. That has been done on purpose. Part of the recovery out of an old system that has kept us dependent and afraid is coming back into our humanness and feeling. The node in Cancer is about to start saying it to us. We are going to feel heartbroken at first because the node's going to hit 29 degrees straight out of the gate. Woo! We're going to feel heartbroken at first, and that I'm going to be telling people when it happens, you need to treat that as sacred. Mm-hmm. You feel heartbroken because awful hurt has been happening. We have to care to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Even your heartache, it matters.
Yeah.
And we hide so much of it. We hide it in shame.
Completely. Because what would it, I mean, that's always the fear-based stuff, right? Of like, well, what would it really look like if we were to show that? What would people think of us if they were able to see that we have this shame behind us, that we're like, we are human experiences?
It's going to take a lot of brave vulnerability.
Brave vulnerability, and that's unrelenting.
Yeah, and we're going to have to not pull on each other.
Right.
Just because you have hurt feelings doesn't mean everyone around you has to be pulled down by it. It's hard. It's mm-hmm. hard to be both brave and vulnerable at the same time. My heart is breaking right now. What can I do to heal myself? And what can I do to contribute? Because I know if I'm feeling heartbroken, other people are too.
Right.
How can I show up in assistance to other people within the web and their heartache too?
Right. Well, it's just so much like it's so much easier to put it on somebody else to hold, right? Because it's uncomfortable. We don't want to really house it and we don't want other people to witness it. So, I mean, we do want other people to house it because then it makes it, we don't have to house it as deeply. So it's real easy to pull on other people in that manner. However, like, where is the personal agency in that though? The personal accountability, where is the transformation that happens in that? If what we are doing is pulling on other people to help us figure out our trauma, to help us relieve us of feeling the big feels.
I think it's respect for other people's energy, because
absolutely
none of us can do this alone, but you can't just unconsciously start pulling on everyone going, pay attention to me right now.
Right.
No, I'm at work.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. I had this very conversation over and over again this weekend about how I find this whole area so fascinating, that if somebody were to come up on to you and start pulling on you physically, tugging on your skin, tugging at your clothes, that we would all look around at that and be like, that's assault. You need to back the fuck off. Like, we don't walk around doing that, but because there's some level of unconsciousness that's involved, that you can energetically pull on other people, and that we don't have that recognition that's also a form of energetic assault, and it's equally not okay.
It's eluding. Yeah.
It is eluding, but yet it operates under the guise of, oh, well, it's just unconscious. Oh, well, I was just unaware. As if that is an excuse, but if we were to use that excuse in the physical realm, it would never stand up.
Mm-hmm. I think that if we are running around unconsciously pulling on people, we're going to have to learn to be like, I need to get a session. Mm-hmm. Something's going on with me. I'm pulling on everybody. Yep. Go get a session from someone where there's an energetic exchange, whether you do it out of trade or you pay money,
right,
and have someone consciously hold space for you and help you process your water.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important. I mean, it's really important. It's important that we build our webs to be stronger, not draining.
Right. And I think this is what the piece to me about returning home. If we know that in our feeling, there is truth. And then in our home, whether it's physical with an actual like location or with an actual person or within an actual, like, I don't know, relationship, right? Or whether it's transpersonal where it's about ourselves, like returning home is to return to our sacredness, is to return to acknowledging that what we are feeling is telling us something. And that our home is our sacred container where we can house those feelings in the most integrity rich ways. And that does require like sessions, that does require us to be that personally diligent in how we show up for ourselves. So therefore it's easier to show up in the collective.
Yeah. So Cancer rules, and that's what we're talking about. The moon's in Cancer as we're recording, and the node is about to go into Cancer, first part of November. Cancer rules the fourth house. People read the fourth house as home and family and mother. Mm-hmm. And I don't always read it that way, because not everybody has a home. Not everybody has a family. Not everybody mm-hmm. has a mother. And so I read it as how we feel safe in the world. So if you're going to get in touch with your own feelings, come back to feeling safe within yourself and ensure safety for those around you too. It's mm-hmm. about safety so that we feel okay in being exposed in our feelings.
Thank you for listening in to the Be the Evidence podcast with Susan and I. We are really grateful that you are here, that you're showing up, that you're willing to be seen, and that you're exploring these conversations. Thank you. If you're curious at all about the offerings and the readings that Susan and I do, I would really urge you to go to our websites. There you will find a lot more information about who we are and the services that we have. Susan can be found at susangrace.org, and I can be found at aubreycara.co. For all of our listeners of the podcast, we have set up a Patreon page specific to you guys. There you will find services that are not available to anyone else. And you can find us on patreon.com/bethe evidence podcast. When you're there, there are two different options for you to have access to a guided meditation and or a reading with Susan and I both. If you ever have any questions or comments or feelings that you would love to share or stories about how the podcast is resonating with you, we would love to hear them. Please feel free to reach out to us at betheevidencepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, please know we are deeply grateful for all the ways that you are showing up. We see you
We hear you. We feel you. Thank you.